This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This past Saturday, or last past two Saturdays, we have been talking about happiness. And if you have not been there for that khatira, just to give you a quick idea about happiness, there is no such thing called true and everlasting happiness in this dunya. Any kind of happiness that you and I, we experience in this dunya, it is very, very temporary. Very, very temporary. And the only thing that will bring you happiness in this dunya is when a person understands their true purpose of life. And for a Muslim, their true purpose of life is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person understands their true purpose of life and they chase that true purpose of life, this will eventually bring them happiness in life. But then, of course, you know, someone came and asked me that, how do we deal if this is how we attain happiness, but we live in a dunya where we always experience failure? We live in a dunya where we experience setbacks, and not one time, setbacks after setbacks, failure after failure. How do we deal with this in this dunya? First of all, is that we have to understand that in this dunya, any kind of failure that you and I, we experience, ultimate failure is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Because when Allah says the ultimate success is one thing, that means that Allah is also describing the ultimate failure. In this dunya, when you and I, we fail, we can move forward. We can always rectify. We can always undo what we have done. Whatever failure and whatever setbacks you and I, we experience in this dunya, they're only temporary. They're not eternal. So keeping this in mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, once again, going back to purpose, our purpose in this dunya and what we're working towards and so forth, Allah says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. This is the true meaning of success. Anyone who is saved from the fire of Jahannam and he is entered and he is given admission into Jannah, which you and I, we all are working towards. Every single khayr, every single good that you and I, we do. Why do we do this? Of course, for Allah's pleasure, to gain Allah's love. But at the same time, we always are driven by incentives. What is that incentive that you and I have been given? It is Jannah. So that is why, and that is success. And what is ultimate failure? Anyone who is not given admission into Jannah, and anyone who is given or is told to go into Jahannam, that is in, you know, based on the Quran, that is what is ultimate failure. So that is why we need to understand that in this dunya, anytime there are setbacks, anytime there is failure, it is not permanent. It is very, very temporary. So we study from the Quran, and I'm going to first go into the Quran first, and not only that, but just give you a glimpse of different prophets and how they dealt with failure. First of all, is that when you talk about failure, think about the story of Adam alayhi salam, a man who was in the place where you and I, we wish to be one day, inshallah. And he was removed from that place because he did something that is wrong. But even though there was a setback in his life, there was a short-term failure on his life, what did he do? And what do we learn from the story of Adam alayhi salam? Is that we move forward. We learn from our past and we move forward. And what did he do? That's exactly what he did. When he came on this dunya, what did he say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rabbana, Ya Allah, ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, we have transgressed against ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. He made a sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what happened after that? Of course, he did remain in this dunya, but he moved on. So whenever there is a setback in life, and we all deal with setbacks, we all deal with some kind of failure in some capacity, but we learn from it and we move on, just like we find the story of Adam alayhi salam. Or what if there's a situation where there is setback after setback, and you feel like there is never a situation where you experience success? Then we always go back to the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Think about a man, one man, 950 years. 950 years to chase one goal. That's it. He wants people to accept Islam. There are people and there are generations who usually they chase after one goal. But you don't find in the history of mankind, one man. I mean, you know, when you have setbacks after setbacks, any human will give up after a while. No human has done what Nuh alayhi salam has done. 950 years, going back to the same people every single day. He did this for 950 years. So anytime we feel that, you know what, I am experiencing setback after setback in my life, perhaps this is what is written for me. No. Like we see in the case of Nuh alayhi salam, we have to always move forward. Failure or setbacks is never a perpetual state, like we find in the story of Yaqub alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam was disconnected from his most beloved son for so many years. Not only that, but he went through such an emotional trauma experience that the Quran says that he became blind as a result of that traumatizing situation, where the Quran says, وَبَيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. That he was going through such an emotional traumatizing situation, and he was so traumatized and he wept and he cried so much that his eyes became white, meaning that he could no longer see. But even in the case of Yaqub alayhi salam, even though he lost his eyesight, he never gave up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He realized that this is not a perpetual state. So anytime we feel that, we always keep on moving forward, keeping in mind the story of Yaqub alayhi salam. Whenever we do suffer setbacks in life, we always keep on moving forward. Why? Because perhaps Allah wants to get us to a destination, but the only way to get to that destination is by going through this route of setbacks after setbacks, like we find in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Think about a young child thrown into the well, and then he is picked up and sold into slavery. And then he grows into a young man, and he is accused of trying to commit zina. Although it was then proven later on that she, the wife of the king, was the one who was trying to come after Yusuf alayhi salam. And then we find the story of the prison. And while he was, and then he stayed in prison, and not just probably for a week or 1 year or 2 years. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. Many, many years. Yet this man, yet Yusuf alayhi salam, realized that this is all part of Allah's plan. Because at the end of the day, this man, where he was in a prison, completely forgotten, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him izzah, and Allah gave him honor and dignity in a way that he became the most important person in the country of Egypt. So this is why we always realize that Allah has a plan. And you and I, we need to always trust Allah's plan. Even in the situation of Gaza in Palestine, all the setbacks that we are seeing, this is without a doubt Allah's plan. Allah knows what He's doing, and you and I, we have to put trust in Allah's plan. And finally, we always learn that whenever there are failures, perhaps the failure will open up another door. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he says something very beautiful. He says, when Allah takes something away from you, we often cry about it. We often complain, Ya Allah, why did you do this? But perhaps Allah is taking something out of our hands to put something better in our hands. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us in a situation because He wants to put us in a better situation. So that is why we always have to put that trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no example better than the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you think about this one man, from beginning to the very, nearly to the very end, this man went after setback in his life. Never did he ever question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even after he became a prophet, while he's making hijrah to Medina, this is a man by the name of Suraqah bin Malik who's coming after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a man, the Prophet alayhi salam, who doesn't even have a house to live in. He's leaving Mecca, he's going to a foreign land, at that time Medina. And he has no idea what's in Medina, besides the fact that he has a group of supporters over there. That's all that he knows. But in that situation, he never gave up. Suraqah bin Malik is being promised the jewelry of Kisra. And he's thinking to himself, this man does not have a place to live, but he's promising me the jewelry and the treasures of Kisra. Not only that, but later on, even while they were in Ghazwat al-Ahzab, there was a huge boulder that came around. And they called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he went after that boulder, and he was able to break it. But at that time, there was a spark that took place. And at that time, he gave this prediction that the Muslims will become victorious. And not only that, but they will even take over the Persian Empire and so forth. Now here, thinking about this once again, any Muslim who's there, who does not have strong faith in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's thinking to himself, here we're fighting for our lives. Here we're digging up a trench so that we are not attacked by the Quraysh and so forth. We have to deal with the Quraysh. We have to deal with the Jewish people in our community and so forth, because they are the ones who then betrayed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here, the Prophet alaihi wasallam is talking about a different country. How does this make sense? But once again, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew exactly what he's talking about. And that is why, even though there was a minor setback, but they were able to move forward. In the expedition of Hudaybiyah, that's exactly what happened. They went for the niyyah of Umrah. Anyone would have said they lost that expedition. This has been a totally failure of an expedition. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. So that is why we always learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will see all the way pretty much to Khaybar, there were setbacks after setbacks in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet alaihi wasallam really, really was able to, you know, be in a much more peaceful situation post Khaybar, post Fath Makkah and so forth. That was a time in his life. And how long did that last? Only very, very few years. But we learned that even in this man that we all love to follow, and we have so much love for him in our heart, this man suffers setback after setback. Setbacks are not necessarily a sign that Allah is upset with us. That's not how it works. There are other religions who believe in this. As Muslims, we don't believe in this. When there are setbacks in life, as Muslims, and I'll finish on this, there are two things that you can recite. Anytime you have a setback in life, two things you can recite. Number one is, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa khlufli khayram minha. Ya Allah, alleviate this affliction of mine and replace it with something that is better. I know people who have read this dua and setbacks in their life with total yaqeen, with total conviction. And wallahi, if you hear the stories, wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them something that is better. Allah gave them something that is better. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when you and I, when we read these du'as, we have to have some kind of yaqeen in this. It's not like, you know what, I'm going to read this du'a. If it happens, it happens. Alhamdulillah. If it doesn't happen, I'm not even expecting anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. If this is the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you read it with the highest level of certainty. Because this is not coming from any other person but my and your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And secondly, anytime there's a situation, we say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, and He did as He wanted and as He had destined. So we put that in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the way, when we say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ, this is our way to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I put my faith in you, O Allah. I may not understand the whole picture, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what he's doing. And even if there's a setback in our life, alhamdulillah, no problem. I'm going to finish on this. Just the other day, subhanAllah, you know, these people in Palestine, you know, we are here in America showing our pity. But wallahi, these men, these women, and more than that, these children are teaching you and I what iman is. Wallahi, uqsim billah. They are teaching you and I what iman is. There is a child, he's in a sling, his house is gone. He goes, they're asking him, there's a reporter, someone from the press asking him this question. And he says, what about now? What are you going to do now? And he goes, wallahi, Allah ma'ana. That's all he said. Allah ma'ana. Wallahi, I was thinking, this child, he has more iman than I do. He has iman than us, more iman than us. He goes, Allah ma'ana. Then he says that they think they have everything, but they have nothing. And they think that we have nothing, but we have everything because Allah is on our side. Subhanallah. I don't know what else you can say about these kind of people and their faith and their and just their istiqamah. And no matter what they're going through, they always say, Allah ma'ana. Allah is with us. Allah is with us. You think Allah does not see that? So we learn from them and we learn from the seerah of the Prophet. We learn from the Quran. Whenever we have setbacks, there's a way to handle and move forward in life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make everything easy for everyone, especially for our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Gaza, our Muslim brothers and sisters in France, our Muslim brothers and sisters in India, our Muslim brothers and sisters in Rohingya, in Myanmar. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our brothers and sisters all over the world in this country as we go through this difficult time. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Wa jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما